bridge this morning. I'm weaning myself off of coffee, so this is like 10 days without coffee. My first Sunday without coffee this morning. So, woo, you all help me. But I need those prayers, Mary. I need them. But Acts chapter 1. So when they come together, they ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were going into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you look standing into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Father, we thank you on this Ascension Day that you have been not only resurrected, but you have ascended on high and that you are coming back, that you are the King of glory, that your name is faithful and true. And Lord, all things are under your feet, and we praise you and we bless you and we honor you. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here, that your Spirit would anoint your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's prepare our hearts to worship with the prelude. Responsive reading, and it's taken out of Psalm 34. Gordy's going to start us off.
The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry.
The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves the crushed in spirit. Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Lord, we thank you that your word says where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. And Lord, we ask healing and deliverance upon them. Father, we pray for mercy for our nation, our country. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy. Thank you, Lord, for Danny Kirk's praise where he said that everywhere he's gone, three places this week, he's seen scriptures. And one of them was Joshua 1:8, be strong and very courageous. And Lord, I pray in this hour that we would have courage, that we would have boldness, that we would love well, and that we would be your witnesses. Jesus, you said when you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And Lord, we need that power once again to be poured out upon us as individuals, upon your church. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you. Lord, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you for the givers. Lord, we pray you'd bless the givers, and you would bless the offering for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand while we sing the doxology. Praise God from gospel lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34.
Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what will you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, gather into barns, and yet our Heavenly Father
us from hearing your word. I just bind that right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of truth, come. I pray eyes to see. Pray for unstopped ears to hear and hearts that are open and tender. Pray, Lord, all deceit would fall from our eyes, and Lord, you would guide us into truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The last time I preached on Psalm 121. And today, I'm preaching out of Psalm 133. And both Psalm 121 and Psalm 131, they are in a series of psalms called the Song of Ascents. If you look in your Bibles, and I encourage you to do that, if you look in your Bibles, and you look back, and you look at Psalm 120, that's the first one that says a Song of Ascents. And then there are 15. We've got Psalm 120, 121, all the way through up until Psalm 134. There are 15 of them, and they are all called the Song of Ascents. And I've never understood this, but when you look in the Hebrew text, verse 1 includes all of that in Hebrew. In our English Bibles, we kind of separate it out of the verse, and we put it as a title, but that was put there for a reason. And the Song of Ascents, scholars think that those were sung as worshipers came to Jerusalem. And they were meant to be sung together. And last time I was here, when I preached on Psalm 21, you see that so beautifully, because Psalm 121 starts off in first person. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's talking about himself, I, me. And the hills would have been, as you go up, how many of you have been to Jerusalem? A few of you have in here. If you've never been and you have the opportunity to go, I so encourage you to go. And as you go to Jerusalem, as you go, there are actually hills. It's flat, and then it's actually hills. So they would have been singing this psalm, reciting this psalm. I lifted my eyes to the hills, and that was what they would have seen. But then in verse 3, it shifts. It's talking in first person to second person. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, your shade. And it's really interesting that. And so it was meant to be sung in community. There to be read individually, but experienced corporately. I'm going to come back to that at the end. But here in Psalm 131, it's really, really short, but it's so profound. And I actually hate, if I go to a church and I hear a pastor say, today I'm going to preach on the keys to blah, 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 the keys to a happy marriage, the keys to a healthy family, the keys to, I just tend to just kind of like, oh. Those sermons just kind of wear me out. But today I really do feel like Psalm 131 gives us a key. It gives us the key to living and walking with Jesus. And so my preaching professors always said you need to hook your people right at the very beginning. And so way to tune you out right at the beginning, right? But this is the key. But what is this psalm? What does it say about walking with Jesus and journeying with Jesus? It does give us a key to it, the key, not a key, the key to it. Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. There are three no's in verse 1. And one of the cool things about Hebrew, I think Spanish is like this too, but it's been a while since I studied Spanish. But in verse 1, when the Hebrew wants to emphasize something, it puts it first. Puts it first. And so there's three no's. And so it literally says in verse 1, not my heart lifted up. My heart is not lifted up. And the emphasis is on not. My heart is not lifted up. The second of those three no's is not exalted my eyes. My eyes are not raised too high. scholars translate that, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Those three things, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not exalted, I don't occupy my mind with great and marvelous things. The three of those encompass pride and arrogance. And Proverbs goes in depth on all of that. There's numerous Proverbs on exalted and haughty eyes. I'm going to read a couple of those. Proverbs chapter 6, the writer writes, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are of an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Haughty eyes is number one. When we look down our nose at other people, we condemn other people, we're arrogant and we're proud. The Lord hates that. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. And then Proverbs chapter 30, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. There are those who are clean in their own eyes but are not washed of their filth. There are those, how lofty are their eyes, how high their eyelids lift. There are those whose teeth are swords, whose fangs are knives to devour the poor from off the earth. And so there's a lot, multiple warnings in the scriptures about the arrogant and the pride. And the psalmist here in Psalm 131 says, my heart, Lord, my heart isn't lifted up. I'm not comparing myself to other people. I'm not boasting in myself. My heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. Not being arrogant, I'm not being haughty. My mind, I don't occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. That one is an interesting one because we tend to worship knowledge. We want to be smart. We need to. You know, Jesus said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all of your mind, and all your strength. We need to use our mind. But again, this is kind of a metaphor for being self-sufficient. And there are a lot, of illustrations of that in the Bible. But the one I want to read just as an illustration of it, if you have your Bible, you might want to flip over to Ezekiel. You just take the Psalms and go right. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel's prophesying against the king of Tyre, and he says this. Ezekiel 28, because your heart is proud, and you have said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods in the heart of the seas, yet you are but a man and no god, though you make your heart like the heart of a god. And now he's being real cynical here, okay? He's being cynical. You are indeed wiser than Daniel. No secret is hidden from you. By your wisdom and your understanding, you've made wealth for yourself. You've gathered gold and silver into your treasures. By your great wisdom, in your trade, you have increased your wealth, and your heart has become proud in your wealth. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you make your heart like the heart of a god, therefore I will bring foreigners upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. And then flipping over to verse 18. No, it's not 18. It is 17. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. And what Ezekiel is saying to this king of Tyre is he's saying, you become arrogant. You think you're in control. You think you're God. You think you're smarter than everybody else. You think you're wealthier than everybody else. You think it's by your own hand that you become wealthy. And I'm going to humble you. I am going to humble you. And when we start thinking that we know better than God, and that we want to control our own lives, and we want to define truth, and that's what the psalmist is saying. We don't concern ourselves. We don't, and I can't get by this morning because I was chuck anybody that ever had a case against God, it would have been Job. And he is lamented. He has just really been really, really, really honest, and he's angry. He's angry at God. And God tells Job this. Hold on, do I have the right reference here? Job. It's not 28, it's 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk or laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sank together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth? Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep?" And he just goes on. And we think we are so smart. We think that we have it all together. And God will, if that's where we are, he will come and he will humble us. And that question, where were you, Job? Where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I laid the seas? Where were you? Where were you? And it's just a good reminder that as smart as we think we are, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And the psalmist comes and he says, "Lord, my eyes are not lifted high. My heart, I don't consider things too smart for me." But what does he do? But verse 2 of Psalm 131. "But I have stilled and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." Note that it says, "But I have come and quieted my soul." We have a part to play in that. There are some of you here, maybe many of us here, that struggle with worry, anxiety. We need the peace of God. But you all, we have a part to play in that. "But I have calmed and quieted my soul." Some of us get so busy because we don't want to deal with things. We don't want to think about things. And so we busy ourselves during the day. But then in the night, our brain is still processing those things. And we can't sleep because we are fretting and we're worrying. And it's a choice. "I have calmed and quieted my soul." We have to take time to be still. We have to take time to read the Word of God. We have to take time. If Jesus, it says repeatedly that early in the morning, before anybody woke up, Jesus went and he prayed. And you would think if anybody didn't have to pray, anybody didn't have to take time, it would have been Jesus, because he was the Son of God. And yet he was fully human, just like us. And he had a choice. And he got up and he listened and he was quiet. One of the things my docs want me to do right now is to reset my circadian rhythms, and I've been doing it, and I'm having a good time, and I'm probably more tan right now than I've been since I was 12 years old. To get up first thing in the morning and sit out in the sun for 10, 15 minutes. And I'll set a timer for 15 minutes and I'll just sit out in the sun. And that's just a great time because, you know, usually I'll get up out of bed, you know, jump in, you know, maybe turn on the TV or fix coffee or whatever. It's like, no, but I've just rearranged my schedule where the first 15 minutes of my day, I go outside and I'll sit out in the sun and I'm just like, "Lord, here I am." And I'll just sit there. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting, getting some sun. And we need to spend more time with them that. And then I'll later read. But just that 15, that's amazing what that's done. Just quiet in my heart, quiet in my mind. It's helping my digestion. sleep at night. It's helping me. It's a slow process, but it's helping me. But and I'm just like, hey, I'm getting a little bit kind of a little tan. Wow. So that's kind of fun too. But I've calmed and quieted my soul. And you would say, well, I'm too busy. I got things to do. Seek first. Seek first, Jesus said, my kingdom. You seek first my kingdom. All these things will be added unto you. I think we are the most, what would I say, distracted, probably? Distracted. Because our cell phones kind of teach us, you know, we can't focus on anything because of our phones or whatever. And we just need to, one of the best things I've done in the last probably, when did I do this? It was still cool outside. I think it was April, so maybe a month or so ago. I've always wanted to go to, going up to St. Louis on 51. Is it? Yeah, it's 51. Washington County Preserve. What is it? It's 127. Thank you. 51 didn't sound right. It was 127. As I go up to St. Louis, I'll pass that Washington County Nature Preserve. I'll see that sign. I'm like, oh, I want to go there. And about a month ago, I was like, I'm going. Because I was really stressed out. I was really overwhelmed. I had been going to all these meetings on this disaffiliation stuff. And I just had it with all of that. I was like, I was cranky. I was angry. I was frustrated. And it's like, no, I'm going to go to this nature preserve. And you all, I went there. And if you haven't been, you need to go. You need to go. And the minute I drove in there, and I pulled my car in one of those picnic places, and there were all these trees. I literally, as I pulled in there, I could feel my shoulders drop. And I literally was like, oh. There is something about being in nature. There is something about being in the trees that is so healing. And we have it right here at the fairgrounds. Go take your chair and just sit out there in the evening. Just sit out there. Sit out in your front. Whatever it is. But take 10, 15, 30 minutes and just, but I've calmed, the psalmist says, I've calmed and quieted my soul. So many of us cannot hear the voice of the Lord because we're busy and we're running around and we're anxious and we're afraid and, well, I got to do this and 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 I got to do this. We make time for what is important. We need to slow down. We have to hear the voice of the Lord. And that day, it was raining. It was kind of surreal. I love cold, rainy days. It's my favorite day, y'all. Some may think I'm nuts. But it was cold and rainy, and I started walking. And I got about halfway around, and the road was blocked. And I walked. I looked at my phone. I'm like, good night. I've walked 3.5 miles. I got to walk 3.5 miles back? Oh. And it started raining. But as I walked, and I felt so good that day, and as I walked, of the rain, and it was just, I just felt so peaceful, and it was like the Lord just came right along and walked alongside me. I just felt his presence, and he's right there with us all the time. But we're so wound up. We're like a wound up like toy. We're just wah! And we need to unwind. Remember Luke chapter 8, the parable of the soils. The seed is really good seed. The seed is the word of God. But the fruitfulness of the word of God, you all, it's contingent on our hearts. It's contingent on us. We can be, Luke chapter 8, verse 12, seeds. The ones along the path are those who heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Some seed falls on the rock. Those who are those, they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, in a time of testing, they fall away. This is the first year that I've really worked at doing seeds. So Sally, back there, Sally, Mary Jo, she could give us a master class on growing things. I'm not very good, but usually I just throw seeds in a pot, and if they come up, great. If not, I just put more seeds on them. Or I go to Walmart, put something in my pot, and there it is. There's a nice, pretty flower. But this year, I've tried really hard to grow little seedlings. I bought those little seed kits, and I've wanted sunflowers and vegetables, and I've worked really, really hard at that, but I've been kind of an epic failure so far, but I've learned a few things. I've learned a few things. So there's these little things you can buy, these little things, they've got little circles, and there's a little hole in there, and you put your seed in there, and you put water, and it puffs up. Well, what happened my first go-around when I did all of that? All of them came up. Like, I was shocked. Like, they all came up. And then the instructions said, you need to set them outside, let them get a little bit of sun and all that. But you know what happened as they started? And it wasn't, they got about this big. But then they all died. All of them. Like, every single one of them. You know why? Because I didn't put them in there far enough. They weren't down there far enough. Their roots were really, really, really shallow. And so they grew up real fast, and then they all died. And so I'm doing it a second go around, and I'm doing a whole lot better this time. So you all look in the backyard, you know, around the fence in the parsonage about August, I'm going to have some amazing sunflowers. That's what I'm hoping right now. But it's a really good illustration of that some of us are just shallow soil. We come, we hear the word of the Lord, but then when trials come, tribulations come, we forget about it all, and we're all focused on ourselves, and we can't get out of, it's like we're blocked because we can't see anything else but ourselves because we're all wound up. And we have to take time. We don't want to be like this. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and a time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. What we're looking at in Psalm 131 is one who has heard the word of the Lord, they've taken it in, and they're going to be good soil. And they've calmed. I've calmed and quieted my soul. This is a beautiful illustration. What a contrast between verses 1 and verse 2. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within. See that contrast there? The contrast is a contrast with one who's arrogant in verse 1. One who's arrogant, prideful, self-sufficient, focused on themselves. But verse 2, I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. What a beautiful illustration. A weaned child will come to its mama, not because it's hungry, but just because it wants love, just because it wants to be held. And that's what Jesus wants us to be. I've calmed and quieted my soul. So many of us are like fussy babies. We come to Jesus and we're just fussy. We're cranky, we're grumpy, we're agitated, and that's okay. He gets it. He gets it. He gets it. Wants to soothe us and calm us. And that doesn't happen right away because we're so wound up. What does Jesus have to say when you look at the New Testament? What does the New Testament shed light on Psalm 131? What did Jesus say? He said, unless you become like little children, you can't inherit the kingdom. Matthew chapter 18. We come to Jesus humbly. We come to Jesus, we've got nothing. We can't earn his favor. We can't be good enough. But we come to him just as children, and he will receive us. It's not because we're smart enough. It's not because we're good enough. It's not because we're moral enough. It's because he loves us. He loves us. And he wants to take us in. And that image in John, what is it? John chapter 13, verse 23, at the Last Supper, the disciples are arguing on who's going to betray Jesus. And where's John? It says in John 13, 23 that John is right there, and he's just leaning right on Jesus. Are But the key, the absolute key, is to rely and find rest in Jesus. David said, "Find rest, O my soul, in God." David was probably the most hunted, arguably one of the most persecuted people in the Bible, outside of the Apostle Paul. Saul wanted to kill him. He's hiding in caves. He's running away. His life is threatened all the time. And what did David say? He said, "Find rest. Find rest, oh my soul, in God alone." But I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my spirit within me. And out of that position, out of that, what happens? Verse 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From that place of humility, from that place of rest, from that place of abiding in Jesus and trusting in Him and Him alone, what happens? Hope. That's where our hope is. That's where our hope comes from. The psalm is in the Song of Ascents, and it's a psalm of community. It's meant to be read together. You were never meant to be alone, and God brought us into a family, into a church of brothers and sisters. Just a couple psalms later, it talks about how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. And when we're wound up, and when we're anxious, and when we're frustrated, the church, while it's supposed to be a place of safety, it's supposed to be a place of prayer, it's supposed to be a place where we come together and we encounter Jesus and we pray for one another and our chains are broken off of us so we can walk as vessels of the kingdom in a lost and dying world. Does DuQuoin need that right now? Yeah. Do they need to see the love of Jesus? Yes. Does our community need the peace of Jesus Christ? Does it need the love and compassion of Jesus? Yes, but we can only give what we've encountered. And Sunday morning is just a small part of that. This is a time of equipping. But all of us are responsible for the soil of our own heart. Will you this week calm and quiet your soul? Will you take the time to be quiet? Will you take the time to read the Word of God? Will you turn off all the noise and all the distractions? He's right here with us. He ascended into heaven, but He left us His Spirit. When I preach again, I'm really thinking about preaching on sonship next time. Sonship versus being an orphan. So many of us live like we're an orphan spiritually. We beg for God to see us. We don't think He's really going to hear us. We don't really think He loves us. We're skeptical and we live like orphans. But He loves us. We're not orphans. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. He loves you. He died for you. He ascended and He left His Spirit as a comforter. Next week is Pentecost. And remember that the Spirit of God is here to give us power. It's also here to be our companion, to be with us, to counsel us. Calm and quiet your soul. Calm and quiet your soul. Get out into nature and encounter the Creator, because He's right here. He's right here with us. May we have eyes to see, ears to hear His whisper. Father, we thank You that You are Emmanuel, that You are with us. We thank You for Your amazing grace. Lord, we don't want to be seed that just pops up fast and then dies. But we want to bear fruit for You. And we know that's only going to come by being good soil. And the psalmist is just a great exhortation to not be arrogant, prideful, self-sufficient, but to rest and trust in You, to lean on You like John was doing, to abide in You. And as our hearts get quiet, as we listen, we want to hear struggle with fear. You struggle with anxiety. Those are not things that the Lord wants in our lives. He can deliver us from that. But let's sing Leaning on the Everlasting. Father, we thank you that you've ascended amid shouts of joy and you're coming back in great glory. I pray, God, that we would be ready, that we would be good soil, Lord, that we would take the responsibility, verse 1, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child within me. And Lord, may we rest in you, may we come to you, may we have eyes to see you, Lord, where our vision of you is distorted, where we think of you like an orphan, where we might feel abandoned and we not listen to. Just break lives off of people. And it's like John, just lean on your breast when everybody else is bickering and everything going on. Lord, he just rested and abided in you. I pray, Lord, that that's what we